A new publicly owned international bridge crossing has been in the works since the Granholm administration. Governor Snyder signed a deal with the Canadian government in 2012. The bridge was named after hockey great Gordie Howe in 2015. Yet, if you were driving along I-75 near the Detroit River recently, it may seem as though nothing is getting done. Stateside's Lester Graham spoke with Michigan's point person on the project to see just where things stand as 2017 fast approaches.
Recently, there was a story in the Windsor Star about delays to the new bridge project between Detroit and Windsor. We had the author on, Ann Jarvis. She was reporting that the Windsor-Detroit Bridge Authority has more or less gone from getting the Gordie Howe Bridge built to explain why it's not being built at the moment. On the Michigan side, Andy Doctoroff is a special projects advisor to Governor Snyder, and he's the point person on the Gordie Howe International Bridge, and he joins us now. Thanks for coming in.
It's my pleasure.
What does Michigan have to do to get the bridge construction underway? Where are you at in the process?
Well, Michigan has a fairly defined role. We are partners in this project, but that partnership is defined by the underlying crossing agreement that was executed by the government of Canada and Michigan. That gives us very specific responsibilities, obviously land acquisition for the properties located in the footprint here in Michigan, as well as making sure that we're providing appropriate consultation and advice to guarantee compliance with applicable regulations that will entitle Michigan to receive $2.2 billion in federal transportation matching funds. Because of those two specific issues, as well as the fact that the bridge obviously is landing here, there's going to be a state-of-the-art customs facility, we are partners. That said, the WDBA is the Canadian entity that is managing the day-to-day project.
Yeah. Windsor-Detroit Bridge Authority.
Yes. Right. And there is also international authority that oversees certain aspects of the project, and Michigan has three appointees to that.
Okay, so let's talk about land acquisition.
Sure.
Is that on target? Is that on pace? What's the progress on making sure that you actually own the land that will be the footprint for this bridge?
There is a common misperception that the project can't go forward unless and until we get all of the parcels acquired nice and neatly. And that's not the case. What we have for the project is a staged construction schedule, and we need specific properties by specific dates. So when I say we're on schedule, we're confident that given how our team is operating and it's fully functional, doing what it should be, and there are a lot of team members, that we will have the properties we need by the time we need them.
Does the Maroon family or Maroon Holdings, one of their companies, the people who own the Ambassador Bridge, which is really opposed to the Gordie Howe Bridge, do they own any of the parcels that you need to buy?
Yes.
How many?
There are certainly more than a dozen properties that are owned by Detroit International Bridge Company or its affiliates, but there is one major property, which is referred to as Yellow Trucking, that must be addressed. I don't talk about specific parcels of property because, well, there are a lot of reasons why
this is a unique case, though.
Yeah. But I can say that the Maroons, DIBC, are treated like any other landowner. We are following the same process that we follow for every single property owner, and we have the same protocols and legal remedies, if necessary, that are available to us for, again, all property owners, including DIBC.
The city of Detroit has not yet granted easements to the state that you're going to need, street easements and things like that. What's the delay on that? I would think that would be a quick signature, and here we go.
I'm not going to agree that there's a delay, respectfully.
All right.
I think that Detroit is a partner in this project, and we are having very good conversations with Detroit to make sure that all stakeholder concerns are addressed.
Are they using that as a leverage to get, for instance, they're wanting to get community benefits for the neighborhood that's involved in this? Is that a leverage piece?
I'm not going to really characterize our discussions because they're confidential. What I can say is we're very comfortable with our relationship with Detroit. Everyone is committed to making sure that all stakeholder interests are protected, including the community. The community is extremely important, obviously, to Detroiters, but also to the governor and his administration and MDOT. And we are working very closely, not just with the administration, but also with many community groups, including the community advisory group and local representatives, to make sure that we understand their concerns, that their concerns are being appropriately addressed, that there are no adverse impacts, and to the extent that there are any adverse impacts, that those impacts are fully mitigated.
I do know that they've been asking, the community group you're referencing has been asking for larger setbacks than were in the original plan. Is that something that's under consideration?
You got to be careful how you characterize what the requests are. It is fair to say that the community wants to make sure that the bridge footprint and the activity in the footprint doesn't adversely impact those closest to the project who will reside outside the footprint. And what we are doing consistently is having conversations to make sure everyone has a shared set of assumptions. And I'm confident that when we do have a shared set of assumptions, the issues will be addressed appropriately.
The Windsor-Detroit Bridge Authority has had some personnel changes lately. Has that had any impact on progress toward getting the bridge built?
I've read about that. I read about that concern, and that was a curious bit of reporting. The fact of the matter is the WDBA is fully operational. It's a great partner. Obviously, every single organization, whether it's a radio station, whether it's a law firm, whether it's a governmental entity, has some attrition. I have not noticed any type of attrition or turnover that would suggest that there are problems with the functionality of the WDBA. And that, you know, narrative, I think, is not correct.
The other thing that's happened in the process of this change of government in Canada, the Stephen Harper government is out, Justin Trudeau is in. Harper was really backing the project. He really wanted this bridge. Do you have the same kind of support from the Trudeau government?
Absolutely. That's another kind of media narrative or just narrative that's out there that you hear that is, I think, unfortunate. The Canadian government has recommitted again and again to this project. It is funding this project. It is paying all the bills. It is aggressively engaged. And the most obvious example of that, and I think you're aware of it, Lester, is that recently we got out a several thousand page RFP and related documents that clearly reflect Canadian commitment to this project. It was a major project milestone. And every time I hear about delays, I just say there are no delays. We had to work really hard to get that RFP out. It was an extensively discussed document. It's out, and it speaks for itself.
The Maroon family, which, as I mentioned earlier, owns the Ambassador Bridge, they've been cutting land deals with the city of Detroit. They've been hiring lobbyists in Canada. They're still working toward a twin span to go alongside the Ambassador Bridge, which the Maroons say will make the Gordie Howe Bridge unnecessary. How might that affect the progress on the Gordie Howe Bridge that they're still pursuing that idea and now lobbying in Ottawa?
Well, I think we have to be careful about what assumptions we're making about what they're actually asking for and what they're specifically asking for in writing. There is a big difference between, of course, a replacement span and a twin span. Everyone agrees that we need two fully operational bridges crossing this border. The assumption of this project is that there will be two bridges. There is no reason at this point I'm aware of for that assumption to be believed to be incorrect.
I'm not sure what you mean by twin span or a coming span. Why don't you clear that up for me, because I'm not following you.
Sure. The Maroons have a bridge. It's the Ambassador Bridge. It is hoped that there, and it's expected that there will be a bridge near that location. And we fully expect that's what the result will be, that there will be a bridge, whether it's an Ambassador Bridge or a new replacement span. And in, you know, documents, obviously, that have been filed that I have seen, I am not aware of any suggestion that they are asking the Canadian government for a twin span as opposed to a replacement span.
Ah, I get your point now. Okay, so bottom line it for us, is progress on both sides of the border on the Gordie Howe International Bridge on schedule, or have there been delays, as have been mentioned? I mean, are we going to get that thing built by the time everybody thought we were?
Well, there was a date of 2020 that people had bandied about and that had been stated by certain officials. The fact of the matter is that 2020 date is probably at this point unrealistic. That said, I always quarrel with the word delay because there has never been a delay. There has never been a stoppage. There has always been inexorable progress. And we are continuing to make inexorable progress. And when you think about the complexity of this project, it is not simply laying down a pontoon bridge. It is an extraordinarily multifaceted project with an I-75 interchange, with two customs plaza, with a very, very long bridge spanning the Detroit River. We're dealing with many agencies, many governments at many different levels. And when you take a look at all of the factors that have to work together, I believe that the progress, taking all those factors into account, is really great. And I'm very proud of it. And I'm very confident that we will get this bridge done, and we will get this bridge done without there being any real interruption in the work at all.
In what year?
The math is as follows. We just got out the RFP. We expect that within a year we will have the proposals from the three teams of bidders who are vying to become the concessionaire. We expect that within 6 months after that, we will have selected and signed the concessionaire, so that project company will be identified. And then we expect at this time that it will take approximately 4 years, could be more, could be less, for the construction to be completed and the whole facility to be open. So that's the timeline that we're currently working with. Nothing is etched in stone. The key issue is not when is it going to be done, in my mind. The key issue is progress continuing at a healthy speed? And if it is, we're going to be happy. That said, we want to get this done as soon as possible, and everyone's busting gaskets to make sure that happens. So I'm confident that according to that timeline, we will have a new beautiful span framing the Detroit skyline that is going to completely energize the economy in Michigan, in the region, that will add thousands of jobs, and that will allow us to say once again that we're capable of doing together great things, because this bridge is going to be a great tribute and hallmark of this region.
Now, if I followed your timeline, it sounds like you're talking about late 21, early 22.
I'm not going to quarrel with that.
Right. Okay. That's Andy Doctoroff. He's special project advisor to Governor Rick Snyder. We've been talking about the Gordie Howe International Bridge and the progress on that. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure being here.